Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. There is someone that knows the Bible forward and backwards and upside down, more so than any single person living on earth today. He can quote scriptures that you maybe even didn't know were in the Bible. He can put a twist on scripture to make it apply to any situation in your life and make it sound like the Lord is speaking directly to you. He can make you feel good about your decisions, even if they don't quite line up with what the Bible says. Who am I talking about? The devil himself. Because he's been there from the beginning. He thought he was so good, he tried tricking Jesus. But if you start listening to him, well, let's just say that he will take you places you never wanted to go, keep you there longer than you intended to stay, and make you pay more than what you thought you were going to do. And when you finally realize the twist he was putting on scripture was designed to drive a wedge between you and the Lord, then he'll start to bully you into just accepting it as it is. Well, that's where my guest today can come in and help you turn things around on the devil, with the Lord's help, of course. Sherry Downs is the founder of Touchdowns Coaching and the author of a great book, Don't Be Bullied by the Devil. She has a powerful teaching anointing and is gifted in dream interpretation, healing, spiritual warfare, prayer instructions with revelatory teachings. She authored Don't Be Bullied by the Devil, Take Authority and Fight Back, and founded Touchdown Ministries and Touchdowns Coaching LLC. She's a certified life coach. She's been mentoring and equipping women for over 23 years. She also founded a woman's conference called Ignite, and it's now in its sixth year of operations. Praise God. She is the co-pastor alongside her husband, Pastor Sylvester W. Downs III. Help me welcome to the program our special guest today, Sherry Downs. Pastor Downs, it is so good to talk to you today.
Hi, you as well. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, man. Now, the first question, other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Sherry Downs?
Well, simply put, I'm a wife, I'm a mother of two, and I'm a woman that just walks with the Lord in obedience and submits to what God tells me to do in humility, because he is my Lord and he is my everything. And so that's who I want to be known as. Like Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give to me on that day. I just simply want to be known as a woman that walked by faith.
Amen. Amen. Now, when did you first sense a calling into prophetic ministry?
Oh my gosh, I don't think I really understood that I had a calling in the prophetic ministry until about 2015. The Lord began to speak to me concerning it. I always had a sense of knowing things before they would happen. I would dream things before they would happen. But in the church culture that I grew up in, it was always that God just used you. God used you. It was never a pinpoint of what he was using you in, or what gift that was on your life, or what calling was on your life. It was always just God used you. God would speak through me, but I didn't understand that it was a prophetic gift in office until about 2015, that the Lord began to prophesy this over me and began to push me to use the gift and stir the gift up.
Amen. Did you meet any type of resistance when you were starting to accept that call?
Oh, definitely. I did meet resistance because I began to be confident in that gift and flow in it with accuracy. And certainly the devil would use those hearts that were around me that were susceptible to his tactics to come against me, to speak against me, to be jealous, to be envious, and all of those things.
Amen. And as I said in the beginning, you know, he'll fight tooth and nail to try and, quote unquote, keep you in your place. You
know? Yes, definitely.
And how did you recognize that what he was doing was not just affecting you, but affecting those around you as well.
I didn't realize until, I want to say 2016, that things that were, because I felt the resistance, because promises weren't manifesting. The things that God has spoken, I wasn't receiving those things. I wasn't even walking in those things. And I kept asking God, well, God, where are these things? Because I know it doesn't take God long to do anything. And because they weren't manifesting, and I'm saying, well, Lord, what's the holdup? What's blocking? And so I had to really go to God in prayer and ask him to show me what was blocking. And Lord said, I'm getting ready to show you, but you have to walk with me through it.
Amen. Amen. Now, as I was doing my preparation for today's interview, I found a story that, I mean, it just resonated with my spirit, because I could sense that, not just as a open door in my life, but I know other people will be facing the same thing. And it's a story. I'll just summarize the ending and you'll know what I'm talking about. You have a say, you said, don't leave the keys in the door.
Mm.
Now, I'll let you fill us in on the beginning, the middle, and the conclusion that I just shared.
Yes. So when you leave the keys in the door, you're allowing the enemy to have access to what belongs to you. You're allowing the enemy to have access to your home, your immature, you're walking in ignorance, you're walking without that maturity to handle keys. I look at my son, he's 12. And if I were to give him keys to my home when he isn't ready for those keys, or if he were to mishandle those keys and leave those keys in the door, he's leaving our home, which is our soul is our home. You know, we are our home. So if we are leaving access to the enemy or leaving keys in the door, what's supposed to lock and keep us in safe, we're allowing the enemy to just come in through ignorance, through willful sinning, and allowing the enemy to come in and just steal from us, kill us, or destroy us. So if my son, if I were to give him those keys when he's not ready for them, then he can mishandle what's supposed to be protected.
Yeah, amen, amen. But tell us how that revelation came to be. I love that part of the story.
The revelation of leaving those keys in the door was in my own life, right? I had people around me that I thought I could trust that were supposed to have my back, right? People that I thought that were Christ followers, I didn't have the discerning heart. And what I did discern, I ignored for giving people excuses. Well, they sincerely love the Lord, or, you know, they wouldn't do that to me. Even when God was showing me, I was ignoring what Holy Spirit was saying. And the Lord was coming and saying, this is this, watch out. And all kind of discernment was going off, but I was ignoring what God has spoke. So in essence, I was leaving keys in the door. I was giving people access to me that should not have had access to me. And Holy Spirit, who is such a good guide, he will not allow us to suffer loss without trying to tell us. It is us that have to allow him to lead us and guide us and pay attention to what he says.
Yeah, amen. I love that part because, you know, by allowing, I'll just say, bad influencers.
There you go.
To be part of our life. I mean,
yes. You know,
it's okay to be friends, I guess you could say, but you need to be so spiritually discerning that, you know,
yes,
I'm not going to accept into my life,
yes,
what it is you're trying to share with me.
Exactly.
But I want to be an influence in your life.
Exactly.
That's the whole key. Amen. Now, in another post I read where you said, you're either going, I love this, this makes so much sense, you're either going into a dark season, or you are in the midst of a dark season, or you're coming out of a dark season. What did you mean by this, and how can it be applied to our listeners today?
I believe that God is always getting us to the place of purpose and destiny. And there's always process with God. He's always taking out of us and putting in more of him, because we are carnal and we are, you know, in our carnal flesh. So we're always being transformed into the image of his son. So we don't know the depths of our own heart, except the Holy Spirit reveal that. And when the Holy Spirit reveals that, you're going to be called either to walk with God through a season of transformation, because it is in the dark that God will transform us and cause us to cling to him. A lot of people think that faith is just believing, but faith in my experiential viewpoint, because I've had to experience true faith of clinging to God every day, asking him to help you, asking him to lead you, asking him to, Lord, I don't want to do this without you. So during those dark seasons when he's working, which is the greatest time for him to work, because in that dark moment, we are clinging to him and we are asking him to do what he needs to do on the inside of us so that we can come out of that dark season. So we're always going through a process with God.
Yeah, amen, amen. Hey, you know, I like in Psalms where it says, you know, you're going through the valley of the shadow.
Yes.
Now, if you're traveling, you are on a road to a destination.
There you go.
There's God's destination. But you have to go through the valley. He didn't say go and live in the valley. Mm. You know? He didn't say go and hang out there, but you're expected to travel through it.
Through it.
And, yes. And he said, I'll be with you. You know, in other words, I'll make a way where there is no way, but you have to walk the path and you have your objective. You know where you may not know the exact, you know, outcome of the destination, you know, what house you're going to be in and all that stuff. But the objective is the mountaintop.
Yes. But,
you know, and anyone who's ever, you know, gone through a valley knows that uphill climb isn't always that easy either.
Exactly.
But when you get to the top and you sit there and you look at the lush valley, you forget all about the briar bushes and the you know, swamps that you had to go. From the top, it all looks good.
You know? Yes, because when you get to the top, you remember how he walked with you.
That's right.
You remember how close he was to you. You remember how you laid your head on his chest and he spoke to you and he comforted you and he guided you through those times, and you realize that, wow, he brought me here. Mm-hmm. And I believe that even in my story, that is the joy of walking through that dark season with God, is because he brought me here. He birthed something that I can come out of my dark season and say, listen, when his word says he is with you, he is with you. Because there were days where I didn't even, like, oh my God, he was feeding me revelation. He was feeding me my daily bread. He was telling me every day what he had for me, what he wanted for me, how much he loved me. He was giving me guidance, telling me, giving me wisdom, and just feeding me. And it's just, when you get to that the top of that mountain, it's a beautiful thing. You don't realize the pain, but you realize who he was in the valley.
Yeah,
or who he is. In the valley.
Right. I like it where, you know, when you finally get to that mountaintop and you can just relax for a minute and enjoy the view, and then you have that sense, you know what, it was worth the effort to get here.
Yeah.
And it's the same way, you know, you hated going through the swamps and briar bushes and getting tangled up and the fight that you had to climb up the hill and how exhausting it was. When you finally get to the top, then you're like, you know what? It was worth it.
And, yes.
And as we were talking before the recording, I think that's where the Lord has brought. Now, that doesn't mean we've reached the objective and from this point on, there's nothing else to do. No, no.
Right.
No. You know, but he said, go ahead. Relax a little bit, take it easy, catch your breath, enjoy the view while you're here. All right, now, next mission. See that big hill way over yonder?
Right.
Because anyone who's ever been up in the mountains of Colorado and all that, you know, you see this hill, you say, hey, we're going to walk up top. As soon as you get to the top of the hill, what do you see? Another mountain.
Exactly.
And between you and the mountain is what? another valley.
Exactly.
Amen. Now, in your book, Don't Be Bullied by the Devil, Take Authority and Fight Back, you call Satan a bully. Now, you start with a description of him and talk about deceptions and distractions. Explain to our audience how Satan can be a bully to us through the use of these deceptions and distractions. Is that he just places the thought in our life and then we're the ones that accept the distractions? How does that work?
Well, I believe deceptions can happen through faulty thinking, faulty viewpoints of yourself and the people around you, and ultimately the kingdom of God. Wrong teachings, think the way that you grow up, there were generational cycles of thinking that I had in my bloodline that, hey, if this isn't serving me, then I'm out of here. And that's not the way of the kingdom. God wants us to work through our issues with him so that he can turn things around and bring reconciliation, even in marriage, you know, covenant relationships. He wants to transform us by way of those things. And a deception would be to say, anytime you come into conflict, you're running, you're heading for the hills. But even in my marriage, when I began to experience conflict, God said, no, this is a place of prayer so that I can come in and transform it. You have to forgive and you have to walk with me and keep going on the journey. This is indeed the journey, but what has happened is the enemy has infiltrated. But now you need to take back that legal ground and that my kingdom is established in your marriage and ultimately in the bloodline. So that was one of the ways of deception that I was thinking like, hey, if it doesn't serve me, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And just what the word of God says concerning marriage, what the word of God, because we ultimately switch culture out for kingdom, right? We say culture, mm-hmm. Well, if it looks like this, if he's not doing this, if she's not doing that, if it doesn't look this way, then that can't be God. But we fail to realize that we are spiritual beings and the enemy hates marriage. So he's going to come in and attack. He's going to come in and try to lay a false foundation that is not God, but we have to be discerning and know what the will of God is. So that's one of the way of deceptions, but those distractions of people around you, circumstances, right? Bad stewardship, all of those distractions that the enemy would create in those narratives that he wants to create in your life to stop you from moving in purpose and destiny. And the thing about it is bullies study their prey.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the enemy started working on me way before I got here, because the same things that he came at me with, he came at my mother with, he came at my grandmother with. So he knows what your triggers are. He knows what's in your bloodline. So bullies will study their prey and bullies will keep trying to make you inferior to their tactics. And so that's what I found that the enemy was trying to do with me, trying to create a narrative of me running for the hills instead of standing up and fighting in the spirit against what he was trying to do in my life.
Amen. Amen. You also talk about what sin looks like. Can you share that revelation with us from your book?
In my revelation and what the Lord has been unveiling to me, those sins of iniquity, sins of transgression, sins of trespass, and how sin will open those doors to the enemy. And anything that causes you to miss the mark, anything that causes a door of opportunity up to the enemy, faulty thinking can be where you're missing the mark. I'm not seeing God in this area. And so it allows the enemy to come in and set up a narrative of unrighteousness, unrighteous living, unrighteous thinking, unrighteous ways are doorways to the enemy. And he desires to create those doors and cracks in our lives so that he can come in and fill our hearts with darkness instead of the light of Christ shining in every area of our lives. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to shine his light of truth into every area of our lives so that the enemy cannot have a foothold in anything that he has called us to do. So we're always yielding our hearts to God. We're always turning away from sin and turning towards God. which is repentance. And one thing I try to do in my life now is repent daily, you know, and repentance is nothing more than turning towards God. So I am, you know, turning towards anything that's unrighteous, thinking, ways of being, ways of stewardship, and I'm turning towards God in repentance.
Amen. 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 What happens when you finally confront the bully?
Oh, he does not like confrontation. He does not. The Bible says that the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and to destroy. So can you imagine a thief coming in your home and you're catching him red-handed? That thief is going to try to fight you to do what he came to do. He's going to try to fight you to steal from you. He still wants what he came for. But the Bible says, my God, that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So he has given us power over darkness so that we can begin to decree and declare what the Lord says. And we can go into that place of prayer and cast down the works of darkness so that the kingdom of heaven would be established. The enemy does not like that confrontation. He does not like when he is exposed because he wants to hide in darkness. He wants to hide in ignorance, and he wants to hide in sometimes people just look away because they don't want that confrontation. They don't want to have to deal with the dirty stuff, right? The black stuff, the slime. But God has given us victory over all the works of darkness so that we can confront the enemy and cause him to flee.
Amen. Amen. You know, I remember when I was reading this part in your book, I remember back when I was, I guess it was middle school, and you know, a bully was being a bully, I guess you could say. And everyone was scared of him. You know, they didn't want to confront it, you know, because he, but I was in the restroom one day and they had like a little 4-6 foot entryway, I guess, before he got from the hallway and then a little entryway. And then before he got into the restroom area, and he cornered me there, and I'd finally had enough, and he went to push me, and I just grabbed his arm and I swung him from wall to wall, side to side, just probably 10 times. And he just kind of collapsed on the floor a little bit, and everyone was in there. Their eyes were real big, like, whoa.
Yeah.
but the bully, he was still a bully.
Right.
But I noticed he backed way off.
Right.
You know, and now if, you know, he would, if he thought it was to his benefit, he might try and confront me or something out on the playground, or whatever. But for the most part, from that point on, he just kept his distance, leaving me more or less alone, right?
Right.
Now, the Bible says that when Jesus defeated Satan's temptations, the devil left him for a season. And does that happen in our lives spiritually? When we defeat him at one temptation, does he just, I liken it to, if we were Mike Tyson in the boxing ring fighting the devil, and we pull off a huge left hook that just knocks him back into the ropes, if you were in that fight, you'd suddenly remember, I have to respect this guy's left hook because it can come out of nowhere, right?
Exactly.
And is that what the devil does? He just kind of backs off and he waits for another opportunity to attack us and bully us when we're weak. How does all that work together? Go ahead and explain that for us from here.
Yep, I believe that bullies can only bully people that are intimidated and people that don't know who they are. The thing about it is, even in the example that you gave, when you started realizing that you didn't have to take what was being dished out to you, you figured that I have hands too. I have a power too within me, right? And you begin to use that strength against the bully. And anytime a bully tries to come up against somebody, they are trying to use intimidating tactics. A bully just didn't become a bully when they got to you. This is what they normally do, right? And that's the enemy. He just didn't become the enemy when it came to you. This is what he does. But he can only do it to those who are afraid, who don't know that they have the greater one on the inside of them and standing up in their identity, right? Who they are in Christ, and knowing that through Christ Jesus, we always triumph. So every time the enemy comes to us to try to get us to be subservient to his tricks and his tactics, we have to remember who we are. So even though that bully will come back the next time, you'll remember what happened the last time you encountered the enemy. You were able to overcome him. So even if he comes back, even if you know you're experiencing him again, he may try to use a different tactic to come at you, but you standing in your identity, you're more aware of his tactics. You're more aware of the power that lies within you. So you don't fall prey the next time that he comes, because now I am aware that I am stronger than you. I am aware that I can do something to you to cause you to flee. The Bible says to submit ourselves, therefore, unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And what you did in that moment in your scenario that you gave is you resisted, right? Yeah. But in that submission to God, submitting to his will, his word, and his way, and the enemy will have to flee.
Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's portion of my interview with Sherry Downs of Touchdown Coaching. Now, this was just part one of a special two-part interview, and Sherry's been dropping some great value bombs concerning her work in helping victims to become victors. Amen. She has shared some great insights with us today, especially from her book, Don't Be Bullied by the Devil, Take Authority and Fight Back. And I want you to go back and listen to this part one again, because it talks about confronting bullies in your life. And this part is going to be a blessing to so many people out there that need to hear about this. Now, Sherry also has a 12-week coaching program, which we're going to be talking about in part two of our interview. But between now and then, you need to go down into the show notes and order her great book, Don't Be Bullied by the Devil. Take authority and fight back. Praise God. This is such a needful book in the society we live in today. And be sure to come back and catch part two of the next episode, because, folks, this interview is really just starting to get into the good stuff now. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.